This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Past 10 years, our next guest has worked as a performer, touring Australia and New Zealand with musicals such as Mary Poppins, Cats, and Guys and Dolls. He's originally from Ballarat and now calls New York home and has now just released his third novel and joins me in the studio. Tobias Madden, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you so much. It's so great to see you.
Firstly, congratulations on the book, which was just published yesterday.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
I feel great. It's very surreal to be in Australia. As you said, I'm based in New York now, so I've been there for almost a year and a half, and I'm a little jet-lagged and my brain's a little slow, but I'm so excited to be here to bring this book into the world. It's always very special.
Yeah, we were talking just before we went to air how the kind of energy and pace is so much vastly different to what Melbourne's like. So it is that sort of like, I don't know, that's sort of slowing down a bit and a bit more space around you when you go out and about.
Yeah, there's an infinite amount more space. I feel like in New York, I'm always elbowing pedestrians out of the way. And, you know, I think we're all familiar with being very fast walkers. Yeah. And so it's, being in Melbourne, I'm like, oh my God, we've got room to breathe. This is so pleasant. It's really lovely.
Now, the book that we're going to be talking about is called Wrong Answers Only. I'm curious about the title. Why wrong answers and not correct ones? Is that like real life?
I mean, the sort of the crux of the story is, you know, that this really brilliant kind of teen overachiever is struggling with some anxiety and panic attacks and things like that. And so the wrong answers only title comes from, you know, a conversation he has with his best friend about maybe it's time to get a few things wrong, you know, for someone who's always done every single thing right. Let's just, you know, throw caution to the wind and see what happens.
I love that. Yeah. I think that is sort of a bit of a sort of saying about real life. Sometimes you need to do that and it's great. I was going to say, do you think there's a type of freedom we experience once we accept that our well thought out plans can derail at times? And if it's okay if they do?
Yeah, I mean, I am very familiar with that experience. I feel like, you know, I am the kind of person who loves to plan and set goals and, you know, work towards different achievements. But, you know, you just never know what's going to happen in life. And things always make you veer off the path that you'd intended. You know, I spent most of my life as an actor. And eventually I sort of realized that it was getting a lot harder to get roles in musicals and I was looking for something else to do. And so then I turned to writing and then that has opened up this whole world for me. And I just always think it's really fascinating because if my performing career had have just kept rolling along as I had intended it to, I probably would have never found writing and wouldn't have written, you know, these three books and kind of completely changed my life. So it's definitely, I'm all for stepping off the path and kind of seeing what happens.
I mean, leaning into that, obviously you had 10 years as a performer, as I mentioned before. Did you ever think you'd be living in New York with a husband and a cavoodle now?
I mean, maybe I had hoped that secretly deep in down, but I don't know if I ever expected that specifically to happen. But it's so wonderful. Yeah. We're so lucky to be over there. And our little dog came all the way from Sydney with us.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, we're having the most incredible time. New York is such a magical city. I don't know if I would survive if I was by myself. So I'm very glad that I have my husband and my dog there to kind of keep me sane and talk me off the ledge when I need it. Because, I mean, New York is, it's a lot. It's just, you know, it's a fascinating place to live. But yeah, we're very, very lucky.
We're chatting with author Tobias Madden about his new novel called Wrong Answers Only. Now, I suppose touching on that thing that you said off on the ledge, you touch on a serious theme in the book, and that's mental health. What was the prompter that made you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, had my own sort of mental health journey. And I think, you know, looking back upon my teen years, I think I was also, you know, going through that way back then and sort of didn't really have the language to describe what I was feeling. But I think I was a very anxious teenager and an anxious kind of young adult. And it wasn't until kind of much later in my adult life that I really realized that's what it was that was kind of impacting me and, you know, the sort of panic attacks and that sort of stuff. And, you know, writing this book really helped me to identify those problems within myself as well. And I, you know, I've heard from a lot of early readers already who've really connected with the protagonist's kind of struggle with mental health, and particularly, you know, how we never want to admit that's what it is. It's still this weird kind of stigma we have with mental health, where it's like, if you have a cold, you're like, oh my God, I'm sick, I've got a cold. But if you're feeling mentally unwell, people are like, no, I'm fine, I'm totally fine, I'm strong. And I think, you know, it's really great to be able to start those conversations, particularly with teenagers, in this current, you know, day and age. They have a lot of different challenges mm-hmm. that we had. The world is a very different place. And so it's, yeah, it's just nice to be able to start those conversations for teens in particular, but also adults, you know.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that, as you sort of said, you know, if we've sort of got like a sore finger or we've broken a bone, we know what the treatment is. And mental health, people shy away from it. But we've been trying to have more of those conversations, particularly on Drive, where we sort of get to normalize it and have people sort of feel relaxed enough to sort of seek the help or talk about it.
Yeah.
And just leaning to opportunities where they could sort of help get the help from others, whether it's family or friends or different support services, which I love, because obviously it's good to sort of incorporate a bit of that into the book that you mentioned, because that sort of answered my question, how much of you is incorporated into the book?
Well,
because I mean, the main protagonist is Marco, and off he goes in this adventure, which we'll chat about shortly. So it's a big part of it is what some of the adventures that you've gone through maybe, and sort of talk about some of the things that you've experienced.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, there's a lot of me in all of my books, but this one is probably the most personal and probably the most difficult to write. It takes a lot of vulnerability, I guess, to open yourself up and sort of put some of those experiences on the page. But Marco, you know, grew up in Ballarat, like me. He has been sent to live on this cruise ship with his kind of estranged uncle. My first job out of university was dancing on a cruise ship in the Mediterranean. Okay. So I know that world very well. I don't have an estranged uncle, and I wasn't sent to live on the cruise ship, you know, by my family. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of me in Marco, and that kind of perfectionism and that the feeling of, you know, being that sort of teen overachiever and always striving for, you know, different things at school. And then you finish school and you're like, well, no one's going to just tell me that I got an A+ for everything now. You know, it's kind of, once you're in that adult world, it becomes a lot harder to, you know, to get that feedback. And so it's can be kind of tough for those teens who are really in that sort of that school mindset, I think.
Well, you're sort of like leading me into the questions I had prepared. And I wanted to talk about cruise ship, because I was going to ask you, well, why the cruise ship? Why is Mark on this cruise ship? Obviously, you've sort of had some time doing what you do, so bring it before you sort of go into writing books about cruise ship. Because I think cruise ship is one of those experiences where you either seem to be a cruise ship person or not. Where are you with that?
I mean, I love them. I have a particular fondness for ships. I've never been on as a passenger.
Okay.
I did about 9 months living on the ship when I was 22. And we, as I said, we spent a lot of time in the Mediterranean, but we also did a world cruise where we sailed from Rome all the way around the world back to Rome. We went to like 37 countries or something. Before that, I had never left the country. So it was a pretty astonishing and eye-opening experience. And the cruise ship world is just so specific. You know, the dynamics above deck and below deck and with the passengers. And it just, ever since I worked on the ship, I just thought it would be such a fascinating place to set a story, because it's, you know, it's so unique and so specific. And just to be able to bring these characters to all these gorgeous Mediterranean, you know, locations, it was really fun. I'm kind of selfish as a writer, because I just want it to be as fun for me as possible. So I'm like, let's just send them to the Mediterranean. Why not?
No, I love that. Now, as I mentioned earlier, and you sort of said it too, you're originally from Ballarat. Now, the Ballarat community has been through a lot lately and has shown its resilience. Have you taken this resilience with you as you've traveled around the world?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have such a fondness for Ballarat. It's such a beautiful place. And it has so much going for it. I think, you know, when I lived there, I left Ballarat when I was 18. So that would have been 2005, which is surprisingly long time ago now.
Yeah.
But, you know, attitudes were a little different back then. It is a country town and it still has a little bit of that lingering, I think. But I know there's also a really fantastic queer community that is kind of flourishing in Ballarat and a lot of country towns in Victoria now. So I love being able to visit family there and sort of see how far it's come. But it will always be a very special place for me, I think, Ballarat. It's just really beautiful people and wonderful communities.
How important is family and connections that you have with them as you've moved from regional town to New York?
Very. I mean, as I said, I left home when I was 18. And so since then, I've lived in Sydney and Perth for university and then, you know, toured around Australia with shows. And I lived in London for a bit and now New York. So, you know, maintaining those connections is always super, super important. I think for me, my favorite thing about my family is just they're very, very humbling because I think, you know, it's easy as an actor and as a creative to sort of just get not full of yourself, but just to think that, you know, your world is very important and very elevated. And that's kind of what it has to be when you're working in that space. But it is nice to go home and my family to sort of just bring me down a few pegs. it's always very much appreciated.
So a reality check of sorts.
Yes, a little bit of a reality check, which I always love.
No, I love it too. I mean, I've been fortunate. We mentioned this off air before we sort of talked about the book that I've been fortunate in being living overseas too in the past. And yeah, whenever I came back, it's just a reminder of, I mean, not that I sort of came back with airs and graces. It's just one of those things that they sort of know your sore spots, know your sweet spots.
Yeah.
And they just remind you sort of the realities, which I love too. I loved them to bits. Now, Wrong Answers Only explores self-discovery like we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Do you think we need to remove ourselves from our comfortable environment like you've obviously done from Ballarat that we're used to and in order to sort of find out things about ourselves that may otherwise sort of remain undiscovered?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always a great thing to do and it's not an easy thing. And I think, you know, for some people, you will need to wait until the right time. Because I think if you're really uncomfortable doing that and stepping outside of the norm, it's only going to make you retreat further into your shell, I think. But if you're feeling ready to sort of go out on a limb and try something different, I think it's always a super, super positive experience. And that whole thing of not being afraid to fail and of, you know, failing incredibly well can be so powerful. And I think, you know, in my journey, I've had some wonderful successes, but there've been so many failures along the way as well. And you take so much of that with you and you learn so much. So I think, yeah, whenever you can, if you feel comfortable, just, yeah, try something new. Even, you know, it can be anything, a new hobby, just meet some new people, anything, or something huge like moving to another continent. It's all fun.
No, which loops into the name of the book, obviously Wrong Answers Only, because I agree. I mean, experiences I've had in life, which sometimes haven't gone quite the way I would have liked to, have taught me a lot and have made me sort of stop and think about, well, where is it that I'm going? What's the journey I want to go on? And is it sort of the experiences I want to have this way, or do I have to sort of skew my sort of way of thinking about things?
Yeah, totally. I think failures can be really clarifying in that way. You sort of get a sense of what you really do want, which can be really powerful.
Now, the third person outside of your husband and yourself, what does Ollie Cavoodle think of the book?
And you know what? My husband and I often talk about this because my husband is currently performing in Anne Juliet on Broadway. So he's, you know, kicking all these incredible goals in New York. And we think it's really funny that Ollie is such a big part of our lives, but he doesn't know that Dan, my husband, is on Broadway. He doesn't know that I've written books and he wouldn't be able to read them even if he did. So it's just like, he just loves us unconditionally without any of that sort of, you know, blurring anything. He just is always there and just so happy to see us when we come home, which is truly special. We're so, so lucky to have him over there with us.
Well, the book is called Wrong Answers Only. I'm talking to Tobias Madden. It is out now, folks.
It is.
Online, head to your lovely local bookshop. Please make the effort. I love the story. The tagline is, Marco's always done the right thing, but now it's time for Wrong Answers Only. Well, so I say, Tobias, thanks for joining me in the studio this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's been great fun.
And safe travels back to, obviously, first to for a wedding and then up to Sydney and then over back to New York.
Yeah, lots of things going on.
Look forward to having you again. Maybe I should sort of say, are you working on the next best thing or are you sort of still
I am, yeah, no, I'm working on something else. I'm kind of 3/4 of the way through the first draft of that. So hopefully I'll have more to share very soon about that one.
Look forward to having you back in the studio. We could talk about it.
Yes, can't wait.
Author Tobias Madden and his new book, Wrong Answers Only, as I said, is out now.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.